that we who with devout minds celebrate the festival of that Immaculate Heart may be able to live according to thine own heart. Words taken from the collect of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In his liturgical work, Liturgical Theology in Thomas Aquinas, the late Abbe Frank Coex studied the anthropological foundations of the rational human soul as it relates to its creator, namely, its praxis and the virtue of religion. Abbe Coex, basing his insights on the thought of the angelic doctor, describes religion as the sacred administration of ritual relations that man sustains with the transcendent mystery whose existence he intuits and fears. Thus, as St. Thomas says, this ritual interaction with the transcendent mystery can be understood as the religious man acknowledging the mystery, namely God's superiority and his own dependence, being motivated by the desire to give God the exclusive homage which is his in the order of justice. Thereby considering the holy sacrifice of the Mass, instituted by Almighty God himself, it is the priest, the religious man, ontologically configured to his sacred image, who is the first amongst his brethren to intimately interact with his Creator and Redeemer. This priestly office and its interaction with God, its very sacrifice, are so august that St. Alphonsus Liguori, commenting on the Council of Trent, says that there is no action which man can perform so sublime, so sacred, as the celebration of Mass. That God could not enable man to perform anything greater than the celebration of Mass. And why is that? Because, as the theologian Martin Morard would describe, comparable to the beating heart, the Eucharist, the heart of the Mass, assures the permanent circulation of Christic and Christ-conforming charity in the mystical body, a movement that draws all men to Christ and causes the current of his own love to flow out upon them. It is that same love that we celebrate today. The fruits of that first Mass, the perfect sacrifice on Calvary, that gives to the world two of its never-ending gifts, the sacerdotal priesthood and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. To attempt to separate the priesthood from the Immaculate Heart of Mary would annihilate the priesthood, as the two are integral. It is only through the Immaculate Heart of our Blessed Mother that the high priest was able to enter into the sanctuary of the world and offer the sacrifice on the altar of the cross. Without Mary, there could be no priesthood, as our eternal high priest became incarnate in her womb. And this is why St. Augustine tells us, O venerable dignity of the priests, in whose hands, as in the womb of the Virgin, the Son of God became incarnate. One cannot exist without the other. Namely, the practice of the virtue of religion is only made possible through the grace of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, given from God to us from all eternity as her only begotten Son sacrificed himself for our sake. It is through her constant intercession and the merits of her Son that the Blessed Mother participates in the trifold munera of the priestly office. By Mary being the mother of our Redeemer, she participates in the munus docendi, the prophetic office of Christ, as she brings forth the plan of salvation from the mind of God to the incarnation of his Son. By Mary being at the foot of the cross on Calvary, she participates in the munus sanctificandi, the sanctifying office of Christ, as she receives each new child of God the same way she received John the Beloved, and John received her as his mother. By Mary being the queen of heaven and earth, she participates in the munus regendi, the governing office of Christ, ever furthering the social kingship of our Lord by her constant and total obedience to his commands. Thus, it is the duty of the priest to take her into his own, as our Lord commanded John in today's gospel. My dear Reverend Canon, I, merely a priest of 2.5 months, do not feel as though I can offer you advice, as my ears are still wet from being birthed into this truly terrifying and awesome vocation. What I can tell you is this: your role as the priest, prophet, and king of this community, of this family, and all those you call your spiritual children, must be augmented by the Immaculate Heart of Mary. 20 years of priesthood is like 2 decades of the rosary, so you have a couple more to go. Since becoming a priest, if there's anything that I've learned, it's that you can't give what you don't have. And if we as priests do not have a relationship with our Blessed Mother, then the gospel we preach is merely disordered. The sacred office of the priesthood is only made livable because she begs her Son to have mercy on us poor sinners called to be priests and to ascend Mount Calvary. And how terrifying it is to climb that great mountain each day, to interact with the greatest mystery of all human history, and then to descend with a face transformed like Moses from the sweet odor that comes from the immolation of her Son's perfect sacrifice. How incredible it is to sit in the seat of judgment and to breathe the words of absolution as our hearts are moved with pity for the poor sinners who enter the dark confessional, only to be birthed new again through the assistance of Mary, begging for mercy for her children. How dumbfounding the power of our hands and our words, that we become the very vessels of God's grace for a world in darkness. And is it not truly beautiful, my dear friends in Christ, as St. John Henry Newman describes the life of a priest? God gave us men as priests so that their conversion may be the greatest example of the transformative power of the gospel. Reverend Canon, you are a priest. You have the power to and the authority to do what angels only dream of. At the end of your days, when you stand before the judgment seat you sat in during this life, Archbishop Fulton Sheen tells us our great Lord and omniscient God will sit before you and ask you just one question: how many children did you bring me? Your sacerdotal ministry of 20 years, personified by many accolades, is nothing compared to the fruit of your fidelity to this amazing vocation. The long lines for confession that I would see every Saturday, the massive mass attendance every weekend, the music that takes the soul beyond itself, all inspiring liturgies, a healthy, prestigious school, missionary work in Turkey. And these are only a small bit of the grace God has worked through you. You have transformed this parish community, this family, and have given people the true spiritual nourishment that they have been seeking their whole lives. So often, I've heard the words, "If it's meant to be done, it's meant to be overdone," come out of your mouth. Your faithfulness to the cross of the priesthood, always striving for excellence, is the quintessential description of how our relationship with God should be, that there is no possible way for us to love God too much. And through your constant and consistent sacrifices and prayers for your spiritual children, you have transformed this parish into a truly extraordinary parish for ordinary people. So, my dear father, I hope your schedule is open, because our Lord has much more to do with you. I remember it was just 2 months ago when you preached my first Mass, and I think of this all the time. You told me there's going to come a time when I'll want to rip my collar off because of the exhaustion. But Father, look at these, your children. It's for these children that you and I continue to stay on the cross. It's for these children that each morning when we wake up, the first thing we do is care for their spiritual needs in our prayers. It's for these children that we ascend the altar each day in fear and trembling and interact with the transcendent God who humbles himself so much as to be made present in the very palms of our sinful hands. Many years from now, as you say it best, I'll probably be rolling you around the old priest home. But for now, and for the rest of your priesthood, my prayer for you is simply this: that you never tire of looking upon your poor children and giving them to your beloved mother and your mother to your poor children. Because it's when you do this act of charity, you, in the image of our Redeemer, bring your children to the Sacred Heart of our Lord, which burns for the conversion of the entire world. Tu es sacerdos in eternum, Deo gratias. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.